and it's everywhere. If your eyes are open and your heart has to be open first, I think, to be able to see hope. Hope could be in the smile from a stranger. Mm-hmm. Hope can be anywhere. It's not just some person like me walking around with a pocket full of stones.
I'm Phil Hatterman, and you're listening to Dog Words, presented by Rosie Fund. Today on Dog Words, author Kim Langling discusses her new book, Paw Prints on the Couch, How Pets Enrich Our Lives, highlighting the importance of our furry companions and the impact they have on our lives. She also shares her wonderful practice of handing out nuggets of hope. If you're new to Dog Words, in each episode, we explore the world of dog care and companionship. We save each other is the motto of Rosie Fund, which simply means the more we do for dogs, the more they do for us, and they already do a lot. You can support Rosie Fund by making a donation on our website or Facebook page. You can also contribute by making a purchase from the store on our website, buying a t-shirt at bonfire.com, or buying our note cards featuring Rosie and Peaches and our shirts on barkyours.com. Links are in the description. Your donations and purchases help fund the Rosie Life Starter Kits that make sure these senior and harder-to-adopt dogs have some of the items they'll need in their forever home. Any donation amount is greatly appreciated, but here are some popular levels. $30 provides a collar and leash for a Rosie Life Starter Kit dog, and $100 covers their entire kit. You can also support Rosie Fund by downloading, subscribing, rating, and most importantly, sharing Dog Words. Follow us on social media, even if you aren't looking for a dog. Watching and sharing the videos helps our channel gain exposure, bringing awareness to our cause and giving shelter dogs much-needed attention. Our free Rosie Fund YouTube channel offers great videos of Rosie, Peaches, Vinny, and shelter dogs looking for their forever home. We welcome your comments, questions, and suggestions, especially if you have an idea for a topic or guest. Go to the podcast page at rosiefund.org to share your thoughts. The mission of Rosie Fund is to provide humans with the resources and education they need to give senior and harder to adopt dogs a better life. We thank you for joining our mission. Joining us today from Pennsylvania is author, podcast host, public speaker, Kim Langling. Kim, welcome to Dog Words.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I know this is a great interview because we've just spent the last half hour doing a great interview.
Chit-chatting on numerous topics.
That would could go on any number of different podcasts, but we didn't even get into the point of this interview, which is your book and dogs and animal welfare and the relationship we have with our pets. We're going to cover all of that, I promise. First of all, tell us a little bit about your book that is Paw Prints on the Couch, How Pets Enrich Our Lives.
Well, it's an anthology, actually, and it was published in October of this year, so just a couple months ago, and there are different stories in there, I think 10 to 11 stories in there, and they are all stories of folks sharing their story about their pet, so whether it's a cat, a dog, and we have a horse in there, too, and all of the animals are rescue animals, or animals that were stray and showed up at their human's house, you know, and then they were eventually adopted from there. But it's just stories of folks sharing their love for their animals and how animals enrich their lives and make their lives better and how those animals help their humans in those dark times, you know, or they bring joy to your life with their unconditional love and their enthusiasm. They're just total enthusiasm for their human, how all of that put together just enriches their humans' lives. You know, it's just, it makes such a huge difference. And they're so special, I think. Animal souls are so special, and we are so blessed to have them in our lives. And that's what I wanted to portray and get across with this book, Paw Prints on the Couch. So I've got my own stories in there of a dog that I had to say goodbye to, but he was in my life for 14 years. And the dog I currently have, both rescues, and then other people in their stories. And it's a beautiful book, actually.
The human-animal bond, the existence of it, is universally recognized. But each individual bond has its special characteristics. It's unique in the way you feel about your dog, your cat, your horse, that you know this is a special Bond. It's difficult to sort of categorize it because, for instance, you say you lost your dog and we recently lost our Vinny. And anyone who's lost a pet, they empathize with you. And you know that empathy is genuine, but you can't imagine that they feel the same way that you do. That they felt loss, but it just can't be the same as my loss.
Because it's so hard. Mm-hmm. And I often say, when I had to say goodbye to my Digger, I had him for 14 years. And I say, you know, he was the best dog on the planet. And then I realize everybody's dog is the best dog on the planet.
Yeah, how does that math work? It's amazing.
But to me, in my world, mm-hmm. Digger was the best dog on the planet. And, you know, I'll say, oh my goodness, I was crushed. I was absolutely crushed for 3 months. I cried every day, woke up crying, went to bed crying for 3 months. And other people are like, oh, it was the, you know, and I, this happened and this, it was this way for me. And you do, you empathize, you feel it. I feel it. And I'm incredibly empathetic. And it's like a visceral thing. I feel that mm-hmm. coming off of other people and brings back, you know, to me, all these feelings and emotions and images of when I had to say goodbye, you know, and I often find myself telling myself, but also telling others, especially while we were putting this book together, because a couple of them, their stories are about their pets that it was recent loss mm-hmm. and they were still going to write. And I was like, wow, that's really special. But it was like, you know, I had to remind myself, and then I would remind folks that I talk to on any given day when they're like, oh my gosh, it's so hard. I can't do this again. And I can't do that. And I sit there and say, you know, our issue as humans, as mere humans, the flawed things that we are, we put way, way too much focus on that last 24 hours. Mm-hmm. When there was 14 years of amazing fun, laughter, joy, love, ridiculous stuff, antics, you know, sickness, health, all that stuff that goes into caring for a loved one, you know, your pet, we forget all of that. And we focus on that last 24 hours or so, or however long it may be. Maybe you had to schedule the time to mm-hmm. say goodbye. So maybe it was a day or two, but you're focusing on the very, very end of their journey. And we shouldn't do that because that's not what their purpose here was for you to be sad at their memory.
Yes.
You know, they're here for 10, 12, if you're lucky, 13, 14 years, depends on your breed and all of that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, wow, what a blessing. What a blessing they are. And I have to remind myself, it's been 6 years and I still get all teary-eyed over Digger. And I'll be like, Kim, you got to, you know, focus on the 14 years because he was an amazing dog. And of course, he was the best dog on the planet.
Yeah, we lost we lost Vinny early September and we had lost Peaches April of the previous year. And the cloud storage of our photos every day shows us on this day, last year, year before, year before, year before. And it's so hard. You look at those pictures and when the pain is fresh, it just guts you.
Yeah.
But there's a point where you're still sad. You still miss them, but you're seeing those pictures of that day at the park and when you had the party and them snuggling and when they met a buffalo and all of that joy that, like you said, should be the focus. And humans, it's not just with relationships. It's kind of how we're wired. It's part of our DNA to focus on loss so that we can adapt to it. That if you eat a berry that makes you vomit and pass out, that has to resonate more than, this berry was delicious. That berry was delicious. Oh, I liked these leaves. You need that reminder that, okay, that one could kill you. That needs to have more of an impact. And so losses hit us harder. And you talk to any professional athlete who's in the Hall of Fame and have them rattle off, you know, what's your most vivid memory of your sport? And they'll talk about losing the Super Bowl, even though they won it another two or three times.
Or that game I broke my leg.
Mm-hmm. or where they dropped what would have been the winning touchdown instead of the dozen times they scored the winning touchdown. And then studies have shown in golf, players are more likely to make a putt for par than one from the same spot that's for birdie. When it should be the same, it's because missing a par putt means you're going to bogey. And the pain of that loss, the pain of a bogey, helps you focus more than making a birdie, which would be really good. Because if you miss the birdie putt, well, you still tap in for a par. But you miss the par putt, now you're saddled with a bogey, which feels worse. And so that loss has more of an impact. So just the way we're wired psychologically, we have so much focus on loss. So it takes a conscious effort to access the joy, those good memories. And this book sounds like something that would help one do that. Because even though it talks about loss, it also is going to highlight the joy that this animal brought and the recovery that ensues.
Right. And each story has that. Each story, the focus is on the joy. Now, maybe towards the end, you know, of some of the stories, yeah, they had to say goodbye, but the story is not focused on that. It's focused on while that animal was with their humans, you know, in their family, with all of their quirks and idiosyncrasies, you know, their goofiness and their wonkiness, all the stuff that they would do. There's a story in there by a little dog called Leo, and he would just take off and run whenever he got the chance. When I read the story, I would picture him, this little black and white dog, just, you know, that door's open, zoom, he's out like a flash. And it was, that was just him. That was his personality. So the neighborhood got to know little Leo because he was a little escape artist and constantly running out the door. So when you read those stories, it makes you grin, makes you laugh out loud. And yeah, you're going to bring a few tears are going to come. So you will want to have a cup of Kleenex handy.
But it reminds you that Leo had so much joy.
That's right. It reminds you that Leo was just a little bugger. And if you had the opportunity to know him, you probably would have been cracking up the whole time, you know, like his family was. So it's just fun. You know, there's another one in there about a Saint Bernard that he just liked water. Didn't matter what kind of water. He just liked it. He'd get in it. And Saint Bernards are big dogs.
Oh, yeah. You don't think of them as water dogs.
And they wouldn't be fun to have to clean all the time. So, you know, every story in there, each animal has its little parts of its personality that shine through, and the stories do. They make you grin. They make it, a couple of them make you laugh out loud. A couple of them are going to tear up. Got to be honest about that, but that's also part of life, and their lives are short. You know, we often lament the fact that animals' lives are so short. I guess, their life is too short. It's too short. I wish they're here longer. And then there are so many times I sit there and think they're here for exactly as long as they're meant to be, I believe. Mm-hmm. And if their lives were longer, not saying I don't wish that myself, because I do, but if they were, look at all we would miss out on being able to adopt or rescue another one and save another little soul and give peace and love and joy and safety to another little soul. And they in turn will give to you their unconditional love.
Rosie, you know? For whom Rosie Fund is named, I wish we could have had more days with her. But if we had, then we would have not had Peaches, who led us to Vinny. And I don't know who Vinny is going to lead us to. But a book like yours gives us hope that there's more joy out there. Because all these people found this pet who brought them joy. And you say your dog was the best dog in the world, and everyone thinks their dog is the best dog in the world.
Because they are.
But the reciprocal is your dog knew you were the best human.
Right.
And so while we miss them, what we gave them was every day they got to be with their favorite person.
Right. Because we're their whole world. Mm-hmm. We are their whole world. And it should be a good one. Mm-hmm. You know,
it makes me, every dog in the shelter makes me sad, but in particular, the ones who are there because their human has passed away.
Oh, why not? That's, you know, and I'm glad you brought that up because you don't think about it. Mm-hmm. What will happen? Because yeah. we're not guaranteed. I mean, just because mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, in my 80s or 90s, mm-hmm. I am not guaranteed tomorrow. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. So do you have in place someone to take care of your dog mm-hmm. or animal, whatever the case may be? Is there something in place? And, you know, and honestly, I have never had anything like that in place because, you know, you're like, well, I'm young, you know, but there's sickness. There's all kinds of terminal illnesses, car accidents. I mean, anything could happen. Absolutely anything could happen. So I've made it a point on my end within my family members to talk to the ones I know would be able to handle and take care of an aging large dog. Mm-hmm. Because not everybody physically or financially can. So that's something you really, really need to think about, you know, when.
In this episode description, I'll put a link to an interview we did a while back with estate attorney Trish Lincoln, who talks about exactly that and how they've had to deal with clients who had maybe a verbal agreement with someone when you need to formalize some
get it in writing.
Things. Yeah. Yeah. And what I was also thinking about, it's much more common for an animal to show up in the shelter that either never had a human or escaped from their human or because of mistreatment, neglect, was taken from their human. It's fairly unusual for it to show up because it's outlived its human. That's rare. And I'm glad it's rare because one of the things I'm grateful for is that as much as I missed Rosie, missed Peaches, missed Vinny, they never had to miss me.
Yeah.
I would much rather it be me than them.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I feel the same way. Now, you know, just recently I've heard, because there's a couple ladies that I know that they go into situations where they're rescuing animals from hoarding situations. Mm-hmm. Puppy mill, you know, really not nice situations. But they've also walked in where people weren't aware that there were animals and the owners had passed. And so these poor animals were, you know, in a barn for days and days and days or what have you. So it's a really awful situation or can be mm-hmm. an awful situation, can become one. So yeah, I am. And I had a guest on my podcast as well that they coordinate across the United States and I believe Canada with different legal type things to make sure that you have that codicil, that addendum in your will, with your will, that specifically takes care of your pet, where you want it to go. His name is Robert Green. And they are, I think, one of, if not the only firm that does what they do. And it's specifically geared for pets and the care of should their owners pass away.
Well, another episode that I'm going to link to in this description, people are going to have a whole list. When you get yeah. done with this interview, set some time aside to listen to the rest yeah. of these, everyone. I had Carrie Brecker and Monica Rua from Peace of Mind Dog Rescue in California that specifically helps senior dogs and senior people so that a senior knows their dog will be taken care of if anything happens to them. And in some cases, they get a call from like the ambulance company that says, we've just taken this senior into the hospital. Then they go to that person and say, we've got your dog. You get better. And when you get out, we've got your dog. But and of course, in some cases, the person doesn't get better. But at least they're not in the hospital wondering what's going to happen to my dog.
Right.
That they know it's being taken care of. Whatever happens to me, this dog is in good hands. And then they will get that dog with the appropriate rescue group or they have fosters. And
Well, you know, another thing, and this is a good example. I recently had to have a pretty serious surgery. And so I wasn't home for a few days. And so I had my dog go in a kennel just because I knew that that would be easiest on my family. Mm-hmm. For those few days. But when I came home for the first week I was home, I was not able to care for him. and he's a large dog. And we walk 2-3 miles every single day. We're very, very active. And he got the bare minimum. I was fortunate enough to have family members that were able to, they took shifts, day shift, night shift. Mm-hmm. So they did the minimum with my dog Dexter because they had to care for me as well. But that's another thing that you need to keep in mind, you know, or just have a general outline of what it, you know, because heck, I wasn't planning on having a serious surgery, mm-hmm. but I did. And so that was a good 7-8 days that I was physically unable to care for him. And, you know, so that's short term, but still those little things you want to make sure, because maybe you don't have family members that are around to help mm-hmm. you. Then talk to a neighbor or talk to an organization and say, hey, is there, or if there's a kennel, or maybe you can't afford a kennel because they are pretty darn expensive. Try and find something or talk to an organization and say, hey, do you know of anything? Or maybe, I don't know, maybe you know this, Phil, yeah. maybe fosters, is there, because as I'm talking.
Well, because Peace of Mind does that also for seniors if it's,
in California.
And it's not even for the whole state. It's just for their limited local area. But if the only thing that would separate them from their pet is the fact that they can't take it for a walk, otherwise they can feed it, they can take care of it, then they arrange for, here's someone who's going to walk your dog for you every day.
Oh, that's awesome. And
so that they can stay together. But obviously there's circumstances like yours where it just needs to be a short-term thing. But,
you know, that's something that the folks, you know, because I'm going to now that, because this literally just popped in my head as we were talking, that example, because I was fortunate I had people to help me out, but I know a lot of people won't or don't.
Yeah, but if there's a youth organization looking for a charity they can do, this would be a great need. An Eagle Scout who's looking for a project.
Yeah. Maybe reach out to your local shelters or nonprofits that help animals and see if they have something, or maybe they have short-term fosters. If something like that happens, maybe that's something that we all just need to take the reins on ourselves in your local areas and reach out to your local shelters and say, hey, because I'm going to do that now. I just thought of it as we were talking. And, you know, I know that not everybody is able to have people help them. So,
If you don't mind craning your neck to look up while I climb up on a soapbox for a moment.
Climb on up.
but this can be said at any time. There's so much going on in the world that just makes you question what can be done. That can be said every day. And mm-hmm. the day that we're recording this, it could be one thing. And the day that this actually airs, it could be something entirely different. But it is something. And it's typically something that you or I really can't do anything about. But that's where people put all of their attention, all of their energy, all of their social media posts on, I'm going to comment on this thing about which I have limited information, but yes. I am now an expert because I read someone else's post.
Right.
While across the street, you have
to take it upon myself. Yeah.
But while across the street, you have a neighbor who had surgery and can't walk their dog and wonders what's to be done. It's like, well, here's something you can do something about. And, and if enough of us walk our neighbor's dog, maybe that will help some of these other problems. I don't think that's entirely naive.
No,
because that's going to build our community and the next community and the next community. And eventually maybe things get sorted out.
But, yes. Be a nugget of hope. That's like my mission. I've been on for 2 years and I talk about it. I'm writing a book on it. I have little nuggets of hope that I hand out to people. And I have little cards that I made that say, be a nugget of hope to someone.
And let's talk about that for a minute, because this book is focused on the human animal bond, paw prints on the couch, how pets enrich our lives. But that's not all you do. Tell us more about the life of Kim Langling.
Well, paw prints on the couch, that was kind of it veered off from what I typically do. that's a heart thing, the animal thing and rescues, because the dogs I've had have all been rescues. So that's always been a passion of mine. quietly, you know, mm-hmm. outside of what I do. I typically, I'm a nonfiction author. That's where I kind of go towards, veer towards is nonfiction. But everything that I focus on is all about kindness and hope and grace. And I do that because the world needs more of it.
Yes.
And everybody has been through something. Everybody's been through something tough, something dark, maybe something traumatic. And if you haven't yet, you will, because that's life. Mm-hmm. And I've been through my own. And years ago, going through a pretty traumatic thing that changed the trajectory of my life and how I view the world has shaped how I want to react to the world. And now, in this season of my life, how I like to say it, I will be one of those people that tosses out nuggets of hope, period. Because there's too much darkness in the world and too many people enjoy spreading it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sick of it.
Unfortunately, it gets more attention.
Yes, unfortunately it does. It does get more attention in the news, the media, on social media, especially. Oh my goodness. It's a quagmire. And I think that's a great word.
Yeah.
You just sink into it. It's just, you know, quicksand and horrible. And you go down that rabbit hole of nothingness. If you think about it, it's not worth it. It's not worth your time and getting all fired up over something that you really aren't educated on to get fired up over to begin with. Mm-hmm. You know, so why can't you just be a nicer person? And that's been my thought. And, you know, kindness can change the world. And don't let anyone ever tell you that you cannot change the world. You might not be able to change the entire world, but you can dang sure change your slice of the world. Yes, you can. And so that's my mission. I'm going to change my slice of the world, because the next person that I hand off one of these little nuggets of hope to, mm-hmm. that I literally approach strangers. If I see someone that they catch my eye.
And what listeners can't see is you're holding up a polished stone that has the word hope
on it. I carry these stones with me. And the word hope came to me a couple years ago because I was seeing it, hearing it. It was just everywhere. Then I realized I'm supposed to do something with it. So eventually I end up getting these real pretty polished stones with the word hope engraved on them. And I just started... Whenever I'd be out and about, I have them in my purse, in my pockets, whatever. And I'd be out and about and someone would catch my eye and I would immediately get this thought so strong, that person needs a nugget of hope. I don't know the person. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, I'm stepping out of my comfort zone and I'm going to approach a total stranger and they're going to think I'm a crazy woman. But I did it anyway. And no one has thought I was crazy. And I've been doing this for 2 years now. Mm-hmm. I literally just approach people that I feel like I'm supposed to approach. I don't just randomly pick a stranger. And I will go up to this person and just say, excuse me, ma'am or sir, I would love to give you a nugget of hope today. And I hold out my hand. Without fail, they've held their hand out. And I just gently place the nugget in their hand and say, I would like to give you a nugget of hope today. And I hope the rest of your day is a blessed one. And I literally turn and walk away after that. I don't think I'm supposed to chit chat with them. I'm not supposed to get to know their name or anything like that. And I've had tears. I've had people hug me and say, you have no idea what this means or the timing. Oh my goodness. I've had laughter, like nervous mm-hmm. laughter. And I did have one older gentleman yell at me in anger. And that was okay too, you know, because I don't know what his day was like, or what his life, what was going on in his life.
And you also don't know what he did after he walked away. Did he, did you give him a moment to reflect on? And then he thinks, that woman was just trying to be nice to me.
Yeah.
Why was I angry? And maybe he moved on to a better place from that. But I doubt that you made it worse for him. You gave him an opportunity for it to be better. And
the way I look at it is, you know, he was probably in his late 80s. I'd say, you know, 85 to 88-ish. This might have been the first time he had left his house since his wife passed away. And he was looking for the dish soap that she always used to buy, and he didn't know the name of it. Mm-hmm. And it just, that was the last thing. It put him over the edge. Mm-hmm. And then here comes a stranger.
You know, yeah. I'm trying to figure out what to put in the dishwasher.
Right.
What are these tab things? Knows? I don't even know what these are.
Right. Who knows what he was going through?
And now you just got on his last nerve.
Right. I did. And I just stood there and took it, you know, it didn't bother me. And I let him do his thing. Cause I knew, I'm like, all right, this is what I'm supposed to be here right now. I'm supposed to be in front of him.
And maybe he needed a target for his anger.
Yes.
So, you know, now I can move on.
Right. And I got in my car after that. And, I started crying, but not because he yelled at me. I was crying because my heart hurt for him, mm-hmm. because I knew that this older gentleman was going through something pretty big, but he did take my little nugget of hope and he did put it in his pocket. So maybe yeah, when he got
thrown
home,
it, but the fact that it made it into his pocket,
it back in my face. But you know, I think, I don't know, my grandpa used to come home and I'd see him do it, empty his pockets into a bowl on the mm-hmm. hall table.
You are describing what I am visualizing in my mind.
That's yeah. So that's what
he went
picturing.
Home, put that in the bowl with his keys
and his change, mm-hmm. you know, a quarter and three pennies, yeah. you know,
and a couple hours later, he walked by and looked down at that nugget of hope when he was right. ready for it.
Or maybe it was the next morning when he, you know, he's going to grab that stuff and shove it back in his pocket. And he's like, wait a minute, what's this? Oh, hope. Because when I handed this to him, the first thing he yelled at me was, what the hell is there to hope for? Those were his exact words. And he yelled them. It wasn't said loudly. It was yelled. So maybe the next time he picked it up, he realized what there was to hope for.
Well, sometimes you have a question in your mind and it's not really formulated. There's just something kind of bubbling around at the back of your mind. And until you articulate it, until you say it out loud, you really don't look for the answer.
Right.
And by having to say it out loud, to yell it, maybe then that is the prompt to, well, what is there to hope for? And yeah. then you find the answer. Then you go to the animal shelter and you adopt hope.
Yes.
Maybe. Well, I love maybe. That it's hope, because if someone is angry, telling them to, hey, settle down, not always the best plan. Or if someone is sad, telling them to cheer up is not what they need to hear. But hope, you can always have hope.
Right. Whether because there is, hope is always out there.
Because you can't always have joy. Maybe you're content. Maybe you're sad. But that doesn't mean that joy is what you feel right now or need to feel right now. But you can always have hope. And if you don't, well, then that's the cue that you need to look for hope.
And it's everywhere. If your eyes are open and your heart has to be open first, I think, to be able to see hope. Hope could be in the smile from a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
Hope can be anywhere. It's not just some person like me walking around with a pocket full of stones.
Because If you're going to wait for that,
yeah, I can't cover that much ground. But yeah, hope can be in the smile from a stranger, a compliment. And that's why I say, you know, people are like, well, what can I do to be a nugget of hope? I'm like, oh my goodness, you can do so many things. Smile at a stranger, compliment a stranger. You see someone in the store walking down the sidewalk and say, oh my goodness, what a gorgeous jacket that is. You look stunning in that today. Mm-hmm. Or, oh wow, your hair is beautiful. Whatever the case may be, a sincere compliment, because you don't know what's going on in that person's mind as they're passing you by on the street? Because we all put masks on every day. You don't want the world to see exactly what's going on in your life. Oh my goodness. Who wants to do that?
Mm-hmm.
So you never know. And I think that that's something that people don't think about often enough. They just see and immediately judge. And I think that's wrong. I think that's wrong to do. I'm guilty of it myself. I will raise my hand and say I'm guilty of that myself too. But at least now I recognize it and I'll be like, oh, Kim, what are you doing? You have no idea what might be going on in the background of that person's life. You're only seeing what they're showing right now.
So. And that's one of the reasons why we have such a bond with animals is they don't judge. They're happy to see us regardless of Whether we're angry or sad or happy and joyful, they give us a smile, they give us hope, and they're in that moment.
Yes,
they want us to be in that moment with them.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And you know, I don't know about you, but with my dogs, the longer they're with you, at least for mine, they become more in tune with me. Because I live with PTSD, and with that comes at times anxiety and depression. And my other dog, Digger, he was so in tune with me, and he would know many times before I did that a panic attack was coming. Mm-hmm. My dogs are big. I've always had big dogs. So he would come and nudge me. And when his nudge was like, you know, shoving you, but to him, it was a gentle nudge. And it was, you know, hey, 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 I need attention, need attention, need attention. And then I realized after a while, oh, my chest is really, really tight right now. And my jaw hurts. Oh, I have a panic attack coming. Oh, but Digger's sitting here nudging me. So my focus shifted. Mm-hmm. And then I realized he's sensing that before I am. And it was just, you know, the most beautiful thing. That's just the most beautiful thing. And when I had to say goodbye to him, it literally was crushing for me because I didn't have that anymore. Mm-hmm. Then I've got Dexter here, my dog I have now. I've had him for almost 6 years now. He's a completely different dog, a completely different dog. And isn't quite as in tune with me. I often say that Digger was more human than he was dog, and Dexter is all dog.
Yes.
But he's awesome. He's awesome. He's just, you know, he's an amazing little guy, but he's not the same as Digger. And that's going to be with anybody, you know, and I'm sure you've had the same thing with your animals.
Yeah, Peaches was part of the family. She happened to be a dog. But yeah, she was part of the family and just very independent. And Vinny, part of the family, but he was your pet. We loved him, but you had to take care of him. And he needed you, and it was wonderful to be needed by him. Peaches, sometimes it was a little frustrating that she didn't need you. You kind of got the sense that if something happened to me, she loved us, but you could tell she could have survived anywhere. So yeah, they just have their own unique story. So yeah. How did you find the people who tell the stories in your book in order to get all the unique stories?
I actually reached out because I have my own podcast called Let Fear Bounce. And so I reached out to a few of the guests that I had on my podcast because without fail, we end up talking about coffee and dogs. That just, you know, just seems to be part of the conversation, coffee and dogs. And so I reached out to those and said, hey, you know, I'm thinking of doing this project. Do you want to participate? And they literally, every one of them like, oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah, I'd love to do that. And they're short stories. They're quick reads. They're 1500 words. So it's a 5-minute read. You know, you can pick it up, read one story, put the book back down. It's something you can keep in your car and you can read while you're waiting for the kids to get done with Little Gritters or dance class, you know, whatever the case may be, at a doctor appointment. I have a lot of people that have told me they just keep it in their purse or their tote bag because they can easily pull it out and read a story or two while they're waiting on something, like at the doctor or for their kids or whatever the case may be. But yeah, they're short, quick reads. And I'm thinking, well, I know there is going to be another one. I'm just not sure how I'm going to coordinate it and how I'm going to put it together. But the next one will be called Paw Prints on the Kitchen Floor.
I could see a whole series of paw prints around the house and throughout someone's life.
Yeah, paw prints on the car window. Yeah, yeah, everything.
Yeah. Don't say them all out loud. Don't give this away for free.
Oh, I know.
Don't steal.
I know. See,
you need me to edit that out?
Your brain works like mine. Your brain works like mine.
Because, yeah, I thought of several, but I didn't want to say them.
Yes.
Like, yeah, I've got all kinds of them. If she already has this on her list, I don't want to ruin it and have someone steal it, and it's my fault. I put that out there.
Yeah, but no, it's just, they're fun. It's a fun, and it's what I do. I coordinate. That's typically, well, I have clients that I do stuff for, but my writing stuff, I coordinate anthologies. And then Back to the Nuggets of Hope, that's a book that's just solely Kim. It's called Nuggets of Hope, and that's going to be coming out hopefully June, July of next year.
Well, listeners, you can find all of this at Kim's website, which again is linked in the description, KimLengling.author.com, L-E-N-G-L-I-N-G, KimLengling.author.com. Links to the books, links to the website, links to your shop with Be a Nugget of Hope mugs and shirts and promoting Let Fear Bounce. And of course, I have no problem with people listening not only to multiple podcasts in addition to ours, but it won't hurt my feelings if you can only listen to one podcast and you decide you're going to shift to Kim's. I think you would be in good hands, that she would take care of you as a listener on her podcast if you abandon ours. But I think you can find room in your life for both.
I think there's plenty of room.
So follow the link and check out Kim's book. Kim, I'm delighted by our conversation, not only what I'm posting for this episode, but enjoyed visiting with you before we even started recording. And so I know that that is also going to be reflected in your book and in your podcast, and that people will enjoy that output from you as well. So thank you for being so giving of your time, but also being so generous with your nuggets of hope and being a guest on Dog Words.
Thank you very much for having me. This was fun. I appreciate it.
I'm Phil Hatterman, and you've been listening to Dog Words, presented by Rosie Fund. Thank you to author Kim Lengling for joining us today. Links to her website and social media are in the description, along with relevant episodes from the Dog Words archive. A big thank you to alternative string duo The Wires, featuring cellist Sasha Groshong and violinist Laurel Morgan Parks, for playing the wonderful music you've heard on today's and previous episodes of Dog Words. Supporting The Wires supports our mission. Learn more about The Wires, including their concert schedule, at thewires.info, and download their music on iTunes. Check out fiddlelife.com and learn to play fiddle and cello fiddle online from Laurel and Sasha, even if you've never played before. Go to rosiefund.org to shop and get links to our social media. As always, please download, follow, rate, and share Dog Words. This helps us with sponsorships, then Rosie Fund can help more dogs. Send us your comments, questions, and suggestions via the contact form at rosiefund.org, and let us know if you would like to be a sponsor or a guest of the Dog Words podcast. Thank you for listening to Dog Words, and remember, we save each other.